I have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, featuring T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could be here. In today's program, Tom is joined once again by his guest, Trevor Baker, as they talk about signs of the times in song. And now, here's Tom.
Thanks, Gary. For part two of my session with Trevor Baker, Trevor is a man who ministers in song, and he's a songwriter, musician, singer. And as we mentioned last week, some of his music, well, he's not trying to win a popularity contest. At the same time, he wants to bless people and encourage people, encourage them in the Word of God, get them to think biblically, which is no small task these days. So, Trevor, welcome back to Search the Scriptures 24/7.
Oh, thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Now, Trevor, as I mentioned last week, some of the songs that Trevor's written are not enthusiastically received. He's a good singer. He's a great musician. But it has to do with the content of his songs, the lyrics, which you're going to get a, if you didn't listen to our program last week, you're going to get a little taste of that in this session. So, Trevor, as we talked, your lyrics, I think they bless me no end. But this is what I've been doing, along with Dave Hunt. You know, I had the privilege of encouraging the body of Christ to search the Scriptures daily, to get back to the Word of God, to be Bereans. So I love that stuff, but it's not always that kind of a popular thing. So, Trevor, could you just give us an example of maybe you've been to a church, you were invited, yet the response is they're not very happy with what you had to sing and to say. You got an example of that?
Maybe let me backtrack just a little bit.
Sure.
When I was younger and I worked on farms for a dozen years, and I worked on 140-some farms all over the place, and I moved an hour from home to do that, and it was in a little place, and many of these farmers were Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't used to that, and I'd never been around that a whole lot, and so I started, you're trying to outreach to them, and, you know, there was some good moments, but I noticed something that would frustrate me. I thought there's like a blindness, like something in front of their eyes they can't understand, and you realize that it comes from a religious oppression of big leaders and stuff and whatnot. And I didn't understand it all. And then when I started to sing, I would run into other settings that were not Catholic settings, but I guess they were more Calvinist would be what it would be. And I didn't know what that was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I would see the same, only a notch or two removed from what I've seen in those Catholic farmers. And they didn't seem to understand when you talk about the Lord changing your life. And it just, I'd look at these blank stares, and I couldn't figure it out. And then there was some mistreatment in different places. It was kind of hard sometimes. And one example would be, I went in one church. He went through my songs, the pastor, and he could only find one that was fit to sing. And so I sang it, but obviously it was a bit of a nerve-wracking morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked to me afterwards. He said, I should come out with a Christ-centered CD. That would be a really good thing to do. And then he also, during that morning, he turned to my wife and he said, what kind of a Bible do you have? And she said, King James? You know, not used to people asking me questions like that. And he said, not in a very nice tone, he said, that's not good enough. He says, you need a John MacArthur commentary Bible. And I couldn't figure out what was it in these people that made them so, I don't know, the word is mean, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to Pharisee times. They would throw the good guys in the prison sometimes, and they would come back out and they would go right into the temple to preach. You know, the
mm-hmm.
angel would let them out of the prison. They go right into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they preached on the streets too, but why did they, you know, go right into the temple? It's because that's where the religious oppression, the big guys were in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go in there and tell them basically of the real life that God wants for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this song, You Don't Have the Right, is, I sweat all night when God gave me that song. In fact, I had cold chills. I sweat so bad. I was just shaking. I thought, Lord, do I have do I have the right to sing this song? And but it's all, it's not meant to, I'm not just beating up people. There's scriptures in the Bible where it says, if they stop these little ones from coming to me, it's better a millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. Jesus said these things. I didn't. So if he said it, it must be pretty serious stuff. And I've felt the abuse of these leaders in different settings.
Well, Trevor, as you're aware, and I'm sure our listeners are, you track with Jesus, you know, in the Gospels. And who do you have trouble with? He didn't have trouble with Caesar. He didn't have trouble with the secular world or anything. His trouble came from the religious leaders. And sadly, when we go to the book of Revelation, we can see that the seven churches, some were doing pretty well, but this is the bride of Christ he's addressing. And there are errors. There are corrections that he says you need to make. And, of course, the Laodicean church would be typical in general. I think we could find all of those seven churches in the church today in various churches. So anyway, well, let's let our folks who are listening to You Don't Have the Right. So go ahead, Gary. Let's play that.
So you've been picked by God before all time began. And he doesn't care about the soul of every man. You'll get this message out to everyone you can, with bits and pieces of the Bible in your hand. The arrogance that I hear in your voice proclaims that heaven is nobody's choice, that God controls the human race like little toys. But there's no logic in your words, it's only noise. You may think the average Joe ain't got the smarts, that we won't question all your ludicrous remarks. But you're forgetting that God speaks to tender hearts, and that's kind of where salvation really starts. And then you tell me nothing happened on that night, when I cried to God and I received my sight. Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you don't have the right to be shading everything that's black and white. Now, Mr. Washer, and all those like yourself, should be locked away on some forgotten shelf. There are souls outside the gate and it's almost 12, and that stuff you're trying to peddle sure don't help. That smug look of yours sure gives you guys away. It makes it hard to take in anything you say. That smooth tongue of yours might say you know the way, but to me, you're only actors in a play. You speak a little truth and draw your listeners in. That's how your crafty made-up stories all begin. But this power-tripping game you'll never win, 'cause some can add and we don't buy the web you spin. How can you tell us nothing happened on that night, when we cried to God and we received our sight? Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you don't have the right. You've pushed it far enough, and now you've got to fight. You've bullied your way into homes and lives, and your fur and teeth are cleverly disguised. Well, here's one verse I think you should try on for size. God hides the truth from those who think they're wise. Jesus said to come to him just like a child. And I know you find that concept pretty wild. It pulls the plug on your theology and style. and heaven knows that we're allowed to have a smile. Now, I don't do this kind of singing just for spite. It's 'cause you've taken heaven's door and slammed it tight. And millions like me who bowed their hearts one night would like to tell you, sir, that you don't have the right.
Trevor, that experience is, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, at least to me out there, but certainly you're speaking to the choir here. You have a concern that we have at the Breen Call. That's why Dave Hunt wrote a book called What Love Is This? And I can't begin to tell you how many Reformed churches that had Dave speak or that had me speak, they just shut. Boom. They just slammed shut. Now, okay, how about this, though, Trevor? With many of the places where you've ministered, give us an example where you've been, you know, I would say delightfully encouraged by the fellowship, how they've responded to your music. Give me an example or two there.
Oh, there's many examples. Actually, I sat down last year, we had a bit of a sabbatical, and I wrote a bit of a book, which I've never done. But I felt God saying just to write down a book of remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed how the good rises to the top, and you remember the good settings where you meet the guy along the back wall. You've just driven a whole bunch of hours, and you're so dead tired. You think, oh, I don't want to sing. I don't want. And some guy, he's leaning against the back wall, and he tells you how 12 years ago he was out in the bush hunting on Sunday morning, and God met him. You know, and he's too simple to make up a story. He's just a real guy, and you pause for a minute, and you say, oh, thank you. And then I've had many places where, you know, sometimes, I don't know, I've seen a lot of had tearful handshakes. I don't know, to narrow it down to one example, I'm trying to scratch my brain about that. Because I think in 2009, when I had a bit of a burnout or whatever it was, the Lord began to give me CDs, songs and CDs and whatnot. And it's through the dark moments, I guess, in the old places that you start to, when you read the Book of Psalms, then you realize, you know, just exactly a little more what it actually meant, and the how it brings out, I don't know how to explain it, just the gratefulness. When, you know, when they sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, you can start to sing that and or say it to yourself, and you understand more how you're in God's hand, and it's okay, even if you have a few enemies here and there. It's okay.
You know, what I'm thinking about, Trevor, is because I know a number of the places, especially of late, where you've had the opportunity to minister. Certainly Mike Warren, who's going to be speaking at our conference, you know, his church, his fellowship. I think of Zane McCourtney, you know, his fellowship. And I can tell you, having spoken at those churches, well, actually, I've attended Mike Warren's church. I've never really spoken there, but I know his fellowship, and I know Mike really well. So I could see an enthusiastic response on those guys, both Zane and
Let me just maybe conclude that little thought, because last September, a few doors opened like that. Mm-hmm. After our sabbatical, you know, it's almost like you think, I'm tired and worn out and I'm finished. I can't do this road life. And my wife said to me, this is almost feels like a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we began to get some invites to places like you just mentioned in the last, it's less than a year, that is, I have to pinch myself sometimes to want, like I'm not used to being in front of crowd. And then you invite me to the Breen Call conference. Like I'm not used to that. I sometimes I wonder, is this actually happening? You know, that there are, I'm not alone.
Right.
And
right.
It feels very good.
It absolutely does. And it works both ways. You know, as I mentioned, I think last week, we hear all this music out, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not a big time against this and that. Oh, by the way, Trevor, Dave Hunt, who I ministered with and had the opportunity to be with for almost four decades, you know, when I would speak at a church after Dave had maybe been there been at the church 3 or 4 times, the people who would tremble in their boots would be the worship leaders, okay? Because if he didn't like what they were doing or saying, man, as soon as he got up to the pulpit, he would let it go. You know, what's with all this repetition over and over and over? So, I mean, he would really get on them. So they would look at me like, oh, no, here it comes again. And I said, no, come on, guys. I'm an easygoing guy. Just that's Dave's deal. Although I wasn't too pleased with some of that anyway. Now, you talk about your trips. I want you to tell, see, because I know you're, although you say within the last year, you know, you've had fellowships that really blessed you and so on. But Trevor, wait a minute. Don't you have a classic collection of automobiles? And I want you to explain to our listeners how they accommodate your travel to your various engagements. Come on.
Classic would be, I'm not sure that's the right word.
Right, go ahead. Wait a minute. We'll decide that. You tell us what you drive.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not a car nut. Mm-hmm. I have no car magazines in my house. Mm-hmm. It gets me from point A to point B is all I care. But the last 12 years, the Lord has, in humorous ways, provided me with a bunch of these. They're mostly Geo Metro, 3-cylinder little cars. I've had 9 of them over that period of time, and some cost as little as $1,000 each. And they just keep going. They have little Suzuki engines in them, and they're a cross between a minivan and a sewing machine, sort of. Mm-hmm. And so I pack all my stuff in there, and some people think, oh, you're a stingy little guy. You drive around in those things. Well, the truth is in the last 12 years, I've done 11 CDs, and I've done the math on it. And because of driving, the Lord providing these little cars and saving on gas, and then I sleep in them sometimes too, the truck stops, I've been able, that paid for 8 of those 11 CDs. If I didn't have those, I would chew up all of my earnings in motel costs and driving and car payments. And so that's where these things came from. But it is, you know, people do laugh at me because they'll stand outside after the concert and, you know, like, honey, she said, well, we got to leave. He said, no, I got to stand here and I got to see this guy put all the equipment in the car. I can't believe he can put it in. And they stand there and laugh at me. It's a little bit of a humorous.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. We're going to continue with this a little bit more because, folks, we're going to play one of Trevor's songs. Now, he told me this was done early in his ministry in music. And, well, I'm going to take a wild guess that most of your songs are initially put together during your hours upon hours of driving time. And now, if I'm wrong about that in general, I can't be wrong about this next Trevor Baker original titled The Cow Song. Go ahead, Gary, run this.
Well, there's something I discovered living in this world. Well, I found that God made other things, not just us boys and girls. He made a bunch of animals. They're not at all like you and me. God was sort of like experimenting, see? Now, when God first started out, well, he must have had the jitters. He made porcupines and kangaroos and funny-looking critters. Ah, but then there came perfection, or what we've come to know by now as the magnificent, the one and only cow. Yes, when God made the cow, he made a masterpiece. They're wonderful to gaze upon, and milk's good for your teeth. Oh, yes, they're a little smelly, but that don't change how I feel now. The greatest animal God made is still the cow. Now, you might think I'm crazy, just another mental case. But when God dished out the animals, well, I think he made mistakes. I mean, just look at all them skunks. You can't get more weird than that. If God weren't trying to pull a joke, I'll eat my hat. Ah, but those cows have super qualities that are seldom seen around. You can milk them, you can pet them, you can sell them by the pound. Well, their eyes are big, their ears are cute. I'm telling you, they're just a hoot. And I guess you know by now I love the cow. 'Cause when God made the cow, he made a masterpiece. They're wonderful to gaze upon, and milk's good for your teeth. Oh yes, they're a little smelly, but that don't change how I feel now. The greatest animal God made is still the cow. disagree with me, and I guess you have that right. You fell in love with your Chihuahua almost overnight. Well, if a dog makes you happy, well, I guess that's up to you. But as for me, I still prefer the ones that moo. 'Cause when God made the cow, he made a masterpiece. They're wonderful to gaze upon, and milk's good for your teeth. Oh yes, they're a little smelly, but that don't change how I feel now. The greatest animal God made is still the cow. The greatest animal God made is still the cow. I think I'm in love.
Now, that's definitely Trevor's tongue-in-cheek lighter touch. Or it may have something to do with the road delirium. But a few of his songs don't bring smiles in some places. But that one, okay, who's going to argue with that one, Trevor? Give us a brief perspective. Well, just tell us how that one came about.
Okay, well, this was actually before being on the road. This is on the farms.
Okay.
And my very first CD, I had this little song. And I debated at the last minute, should I put this on? No, I can't. No, not in a Christian CD. This is just a little kid's song that I played as a kid and called the Cow Song. But I ended up putting it on there, and God knew, because the doors were going to open shortly after that. I ended up on a TV show called The Valley Farmer, and they put me on a bale of hay down the middle between two rows of cows in one of those barns I worked on, and they filmed me. Mm-hmm. And I sang three songs. And I gave my testimony, and I started to get calls to sing at these fairs, and I'd be in the beer tents singing gospel music, and I was so nervous. I mean, seriously. I would grip the guitar so tight that my whole arm would fall asleep in my hand, and the pick would fly out of my hand. And so this little cow song was sort of an icebreaker, I guess, or it gave me some relief from my nerves for just a moment. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as I would give these CDs out to people on the farms, it had the cow song on it. So you know they're going to listen to the other songs mm-hmm. on the CD too. And some farmers, they'd never mention anything about it. But you'd go back 3 years later to work on their farm for a weekend, and you get in their old truck to get a load of hay out of the shed, and there's your cassette, you know, in their player. And so I'm still using that song today. It just, I don't know, it mm-hmm. helps relax me just a little bit, and people fall off the chairs a little.
Yeah, and it's really... I mean, I don't even have to say this. It's tongue-in-cheek, but it's...
If I could just add another part. See, this was right after, not too many years after, before I came to the Lord. I was suicidal before I come to the Lord, and I didn't know how to laugh for many years. And God, you know, that's just an example of what God brings, not only peace to your life, but he brings even a little chuckle back, you know, that you can laugh at simple things in life, which is... Right. Part of it all, I think.
Yeah. And there's a fittingness here, because you do wear a cowboy hat. Okay. You are a cowboy, even though you're not quite as far west as we are here in Oregon, by the way. Oh, man, this has been great, Trevor. You know, my guest, if you've just joined us, my guest has been Trevor Baker. And as I mentioned last week, and it's repeated this week, I'm thrilled that he's accepted an invitation to speak, teach, and perform at our conference here in Bend, which is, again, the last weekend in August. You know, in my view, he's a breath of fresh air in what passes for the Christian music scene, much of which is, sadly, just kind of repetitious mood music, putting people into a mood which we don't need. We need the truth. We want to be entertained. We love beautiful music. There are many talented people out there, but and I think most would agree, Trevor, that we've lost content. Well, that's why people that get excited about the hymns had content. They teach, they instruct, they correct. And that's somewhat removed from the current Christian music scene. So anyway, we want to encourage discernment and to get it in whatever form we can. And Trevor, you know, again, you know, we've never met personally. I'm really looking forward to being with you in August. But this is what we need, bro. And I want people, as you've heard, whether it be in a ministry like the Berean Call or other apologetic ministries where we're trying to encourage people to get back to the Word, to search the Scriptures and so on, it's not popular. And it's becoming less and less popular. Nevertheless, Who are we, Trevor, and you know, we've only got about a minute left, but I want you to just add something to this. We minister to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. We're in a rescue operation. I don't see us turning this around, and I don't find in the scriptures that there's going to be great revival at the end and so on. When Jesus returns, okay, that's a whole different story. And we need, I'm looking out for you here, we need you guys to pray for Trevor and his ministry, as well as the Berean Call, and as well as other ministries that are doing the same. You think that's the case, Trevor?
Yes, we've had more people send us letters in the last 5 years or so, and sometimes I think I'm annoying people, and then I get letters that, you know, say we're praying for you, mm-hmm. and it's more important than I probably realize.
Mm-hmm. My guest has been Trevor Baker, and Trevor, it's been an absolute delight having you on the program. So God bless you, bro, and thank you for being on Search the Scriptures 24/7.
Oh, thank you, Tom. This is encouraging for me in a lot of ways.
Praise the Lord.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7 with T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. We offer a wide variety of resources to help you in your study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at thebereancall.org. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you can be back again next week. Until then, we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.